friends, you've now entered the Man Cave Podcast. Unplugged and unfiltered. This is a podcast where the topics are mostly about sports, but sometimes we mix in some other items, like, is Bigfoot real? Who is the best Batman? You're guided through each episode by a man who's the man for his time and place, Dan Kesper. So welcome to the Man Cave, and stick around for a while. You're gonna like it here.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Man Cave Podcast, brought to you by our friends from Hy-Vee and Toys and Ford. I'm your host, Dan Kesper. Like every episode of the Man Cave Podcast, big thanks for tuning in to this episode where we're going to talk a little Packers with rookie orientation camp opening up this weekend. But also, I want to talk a little bit about Goody. And you know, we've been talking about, you know, the Packers quarterback history, lineage, Favre to Rodgers, now Rodgers to Love, and some parallels in that. But one interesting side of it all I think we're kind of forgetting about is the general managers involved in all this too. Ron Wolf, Ted Thompson, Brian Gutekunst, sorry, Mike Sherman, you don't count in this exercise. But we begin things on this episode of the podcast talking a little Milwaukee Brewers. Brewers avoiding getting swept by the Giants, but they went 1-5 in their last six games on the road. And thanks to an NL Central that is also struggling here, the Brewers not really losing any ground, in fact, making up some ground. I mean, the rest of their division, I think I read this morning, 7-24, the rest of the NL Central. So even with only winning one or going 1-5 in their last six, the Brewers actually gained a game in the standings here. But again, I mean, it's early part of May. We were saying in April just this, that at some point you're going to go through a stretch. You're probably going to go through multiple stretches like this. But again, I think that kind of highlights the importance of starting off the season fast and on a really good note. And that's exactly what the Brewers did in the month of April.
Yeah, I think we all thought they were going to come down to earth at some point. And with the injuries that had racked up, you're playing with fire when you have that many injuries, especially on the pitching front. And unfortunately, the bullpen kind of came back to reality, too. Mm-hmm. And we saw, you know, some decent starts. Wade Miley had a great start that just kind of went away real quick when the bullpen got in there, too. So, yeah, I mean, it was a tough week to watch. I mean, thankfully, they got the win yesterday to close it out, because nothing probably worse than going through a whole week and not knowing what victory was. But yeah, it was one of those perfect formulas when the pitching was there, the hitting wasn't there. When the hitting was there, the pitching wasn't there. You know, you get it out to a 4-0 lead against Colorado and blow that game and lose by 3 runs. That was on Thursday. That was the one that kind of set the tone, like, okay, we're in that stretch right now. And, you know, there was just a couple of games they were scoring some runs, and then there was a couple of games where they couldn't do anything with the bats. So against left-handers, they have had the struggles. We've seen that all season long. But now you're back home. That was the other thing. That was a bit, you know, that's a 6-game road trip, too. So it's a little tough that way. So you got the Dodgers here at home this week and then the Royals. So, if you can get 2 of 3 from the Dodgers and then maybe go for a sweep of the Royals, you can be right back on track. But like you said, the Central's not going anywhere. No one's running away with that division, in my mind. I think it's going to be one of those that's going to go, you know, don't count St. Louis out. Just don't, okay? I know you're all like, oh, St. Louis, they're 13 games under 500. Just accept that they're going to probably be there because that's what St. Louis does. And if they finish last, okay, you know what? Mark it now. And if they finish last, I don't know what will happen, but I'll eat my words. You know what I mean? But I just think that somehow St. Louis is going to still scrape their way back up towards the front. And whoever wins the Central, well, I think, 90 wins could win the Central?
Yeah. Maybe even a couple games below that. I don't know the way things are going right now. And I know it's beginning of May, so you don't want to dive too much into it. But holy moly, when you go 1-5 and you actually gain a game in the standings right now, that, what does that tell you? So
I mean, I don't see if Pittsburgh maintain what they're doing. They're, you know, they're both the Brewers and Pittsburgh kind of in the same boat. I think Milwaukee has better pitching when it's there and healthy. But I think they were both playing above their head. And, credit to the Cubs. I hate saying that, but credit to the Cubs. You know, they're playing 500 baseball, and that has them, you know, 2.5 games back. So, and Cincinnati's still there, too. And every year is supposed to be Cincinnati's year.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be one of those just clawing for the top to see who can get to the top of the mountain in the Central. And it's going to go on all year long, which is fun. That's, you know, that's what you want to watch baseball. You want to see these good battles for the pennant.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think it's going to be one.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you got the Dodgers and you got Kansas City. Then, you know, I mean, would it surprise anybody too much if St. Louis wins the series next week against the Brewers? Wouldn't surprise any. I don't care how.
It's what St. Louis does.
Right, exactly. And then you got Tampa Bay after that, Houston. Then you finish up the month with Toronto, and then four games against the Giants. And there too, it's Giants team that just, you know, beat you in this series. So this month of May is, I don't know, this is going to be an interesting month of May, I think, for the Brew Crew when you look at this schedule. Great month of April, followed up by I think kind of a tough schedule coming up in May here.
The thing is too with the National League, there are so many teams that are playoff worthy teams, you know, teams that have a roster that can go. You look in the East with Atlanta leading, but Miami, the Mets and Phillies, I mean, they're going to have something to say at some point here. Central, we already talked about. And then you go to the West and yeah, you have the Dodgers leading, but Arizona's only a couple games back. The Padres obviously have, you know, the payroll and the players on that one. And they're a couple games back. And, you know, even the Giants are just a couple games below 500. So yeah, I mean, even with the divisions, but to go to the wild card, there are going to be, if it plays out the way it is right now, there are going to be a ton of battles and scenarios going on this whole season.
Is Christian Yelich just, he is what he is now. You know, I think every year we kind of go into it with these hopes and expectations, but, you know, maybe he'll turn it around again this year. But is he just what he is at this point now that we've seen from the last couple of years, Justice?
I hate to say it, but I think so. I mean, you keep hoping and wishing that at some point it's just going to, you know, he's going to catch fire again. It's going to turn around and we're going to get the guy who hit, you know, 80 home runs in two seasons and hit over 320, you know, almost 330 in that stretch. I just don't know if it's going to happen because he just doesn't look like the same player. There's not that same, the bat speed just seems a lot slower. I don't know if that's anything anybody else has noticed, but this is a guy who, you know, when he does hit his home runs, a lot of times they're almost opposite field shots. So I know maybe you need him to the spring, and maybe that was a problem. You know, a lot of these guys get stuck in one thing, then when it stops working, they don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like golf when you something's working, like, oh, this is going to work forever, and then it stops working,
right.
And then you're like, oh no, what?
Then
do
you're
I
in the backyard trying to figure it out and, you know, adjust your swing and all that, right, Justice?
Right. I want to think, yeah, exactly. I want to think that he's still got the potential to turn it around because they still got a lot of money. People forget that his contract is a mutual buyout in 2029.
Yeah.
So the next how many years? 6 years? 5 years? You're on the hook for $26 million a year with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So he's still, he's 31. There's still time, and he's still, he's a guy you want out there because he still does different things. You know, he'll still get the walks. He makes contact. So I think, he's still averaging a strikeout a game, but he's not, you know, the guy who's up there. He's not a liability.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet. But he's got to figure something out. You know, them moving him around. Last year, you know, they moved him the leadoff, and that kind of sparked him.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a guy you need to be hit. He needs to be hitting like 275.
Right. Yep. I agree.
And you four home runs through the first month and a half of the season. You just hope. That's all I can say is you can just hope that it's somehow he can turn it around and become the guy that, because it looks so similar to what happened to Ryan Braun.
It does. And I think everybody's trying to like kind of figure out what happened. And I mean, you point to it, that knee injury, but then you're just kind of wondering, like, did hitting a ball off a kneecap, and it was, and I'm not trying to kind of, you know, dumb down the injury or anything like that, but was it that? Was that the issue that, you know, has kind of led to this? Was that knee injury from Christian Yelich? Because it kind of seems, I don't want to downplay it, but it kind of seems like it's weird to say that hitting a ball off your knee is what's affecting this from the last couple of years.
What I think, you know, you could go with, and this is pure speculation, because, you know, he's had the back issues as well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you got some overcompensating with that knee,
yep.
And it's kind of led to that. And then, you know, as you get older, things, you know, stuff like that lingers a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that probably affected his swing. So now he's, you know, trying to adjust to that. So there's probably, you know, he's probably watched the film a million times trying to figure it out. And, you know, I saw him in spring training, too, and he still swings a good bat. It just doesn't seem like he's making the solid contact that he needs to be making. Mm-hmm. Again, I hate ripping up, you know, putting on the whole money thing, but when he's your highest paid guy, he needs to perform, or I don't know what you can do, because he's gonna be there for a while. It's just he's got to work out for it, you know, work out of this, or you're stuck on with a big contract. I don't know how big it is in the scheme of baseball at this point.
Well, I remember when he first signed it, everybody was like, "Well, he took a pay cut or something like that to stay for the Brewers." You know, that he could have got more, you know, in the open market or something like that. Now I think everybody's kind of like, "Thank goodness."
And that was 2020, and then that was coming off a 44 home run, mm-hmm. 329 in 130 games. I mean, he was on pace to hit over 50 home runs, if not around 60, if he, you know, the way he was raking the ball that year.
Yep.
So I don't know if he can recapture any of that magic, that'd be great. Yeah, because honestly, he's hitting more like he did the first couple of years of his career.
Yeah.
Maybe this was just one of those fluke things that, you know, for 2-3 years he had a little magic, but now he's back to, because he wasn't a big home run guy. People forget, it's not like he had 21 home runs in 2016. Mm-hmm. That was his most home runs he had in Miami. And that was in 155 games. And he hit 298. I think I'd be more, if he was hitting more closer to 300 and not getting the home runs, I'd be fine with that.
I agree.
But 240 just isn't going to cut it.
I agree. I completely agree with you. And now I'm just kind of wondering, like, you know, in the next few years, a couple of years, is there going to be talk from Brewers fans about the big contract jinx? Because, I mean, let's face it, you look at some of the big contracts that the Brewers have shelled out, Justice, you can make the argument haven't really worked out. We'll see how Yelich pans out. But, you know, Braun, we know the ending of that one. Jeff Suppan, for crying out loud, you know, some of the pitchers that they've gave money to. You know, Matt Garza and that. So, I mean,
you can go back to Ben Sheets.
Yeah.
You know, he was a free agent his final year, but, you know, he never was able to be a healthy, you know, never got to be the cornerstone guy because of the injuries.
Right.
That he had too. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like as soon as they get that guy who they think's the man, and you know, Braun still had some decent seasons after that. I'm not going to say that he wasn't he just, you know, battling the injury bug seems to just be the jinx for them when they sign somebody.
Yep. It seemed like it was always, you know, for Braun, back, thumb, or rib. Oblique. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I think if it's an issue, back issue with Yelich, and you can't turn on the ball like you used to, that's an issue. That's a big issue.
Yep. Are you looking to purchase a new vehicle with that tax return this year? Hey, it sounds like you need to make a quick stop to Toys and Ford. From the moment you step into their showroom, you're more than just a customer. You're an honored guest. Toys and Ford's only aim is to serve your needs to the fullest, and the team at Toys and Ford will go the extra mile to provide you with compelling options for new and used vehicle shopping. Purchasing a vehicle? That can be a big decision, and Toys and Ford knows that. So make it easier with the help from Toys and Ford. Who doesn't love Hy-Vee? Once you walk in the store, you're in for quite the shopping experience. So grab yourself a coffee and check out everything Hy-Vee has to offer. From their top-of-the-line produce section, A-plus bakery, a deli department that includes so many different cheeses you didn't even know existed, a superb meat department, and even shoes, plus the best wine and spirits department in the area. And once you're done shopping or need to grab a bite to eat, they have many different options in their food court, including the popular Wahlburgers. Experience the Hy-Vee experience yourself today. Wanted to hit this up here a little bit for the for Little Green and Gold chat here, but there's an article up, or I should say a column up, from Peter King, Football Morning in America, talking. He chatted a little bit with Goody, Brian Gutekunst, Packers general manager, and not a whole lot of, you know, inside info or anything like that, but I thought a couple of couple of good nuggets in the column, in case you haven't had a chance to look at it. But, and I thought he made a good point. It was something I was kind of thinking about here too. You think about the last three of the last four general managers for Green Bay, because you got to count Mike Sherman in this thing, because since he was general manager. But you go back to Ron Wolf, then you go to Mike Sherman. We're not going to count him. But then it's Ted Thompson, and then Goody. Those three general managers all had franchise altering, potentially franchise altering quarterback decisions. And as Goody mentioned in, to Peter King in here, Ron traded a first-round pick in 1992 for Brett Favre, who had been a second-round pick and wasn't even starting for Atlanta. In fact, he was third on the depth chart. Imagine the media fervor if that happened today. And he's exactly right. Imagine the media, you know, talking Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff, if that were to happen today. Ron Wolf would have gotten so much criticism, so much second-guessing, Monday morning quarterbacking, calls for his job, if that happened in 2023. If that happened in 2023, any general manager to pull off that move, trading a first-round pick to a guy who was originally drafted in the second round after just 1 year and didn't even play and didn't even show you anything to give you any sort of glimpse that he could be a three-time MVP Super Bowl winning quarterback. The cat calls and all that would have been just, what in the world is going on? But everybody who knows that background, knows that story, knows, you know, that that was a guy you fell in love with in the draft process and such, even when he was with the Jets and wanted him, and well, the rest is history. It worked out. He was right. Same with Ted. Ted goes in, and quarterback has fallen to him at that, so was it the 24th overall pick in the 2005 draft? And I know, like, people who say, well, Aaron Rodgers fell to him and all that. The point is that it still had to take the gonads of Ted Thompson to sit there and draft that guy when you had Favre as your starter. Everybody downplays, I should say everybody, but a lot of people, like, don't give Ted credit for the Rodgers pick because he fell to him. Still. Yeah, he fell to him, but 23 other teams, 20-some other teams still bypassed on the guy, and Green Bay had a starting Hall of Fame MVP quarterback. So to still make the pick, knowing it's going to not only probably piss off your starter, but really upset the fan base and not necessarily help your team win now, still took gonads to make that pick. And you know what? It worked. Goody now has joined the ranks, if you will, of Ron Wolf and Ted Thompson to make potentially job-altering, franchise-altering quarterback decisions. The only thing we don't know about Goody's is it going to work? Everybody has their thoughts on whether it's going to work or not. Everybody feels like they know the answer at this point. But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter. We don't know. We don't know how it's going to play out. We can speculate, we can banter, we can argue with each other, but until we actually see games and Jordan Love on the field, we don't know that answer. But it was kind of interesting when we think about like the history, and everybody talks about, you know, the Rodgers replacing Favre and now Jordan Love replacing Favre, you know, that whole charade and the common, you know, thread between all those quarterbacks in history. Yet there's something common too about the general managers making those big decisions that really put their jobs on the line, potentially their teams on the line, their team's fortunes on the line. So for all the, you know, like, oh man, the history's repeating itself with these quarterbacks and all that, kind of forget it's the general managers too that are making their decisions, putting their decisions on the line that potentially could affect their careers and the foreseeable success of their franchise. As Peter King mentioned in his column, all in all, trading Rodgers prior to his age 40 season could backfire on Green Bay. He could be Brady, playing great for 4 or 5 more years. That's the chance they're taking, but just look at the landscape. Rodgers is reborn in New Jersey, excited to be a part of the New York social scene. The Knicks aren't playing the Heat in the NBA playoffs in Green Bay. Jessica Alba and Spike Lee aren't chumming up to Rodgers in Northeast Wisconsin. This trade was a must-do. Green Bay got a 1 and a 2, most likely for a great player who checked out of Green Bay. When the Packers did a hybrid 2-year contract for Jordan Love, they gave themselves 2 seasons to make a decision on Love. 2 seasons at about $22 million. Pretty smart in today's quarterback market. Goody told Peter King, "We believe in our process and how we make decisions. You never get them all right. We like to develop quarterbacks. Part of developing quarterbacks is they got to sit for a while, I think, and then they got to play. Obviously, Jordan Love sat, and Aaron did a great job just kind of mentoring him. But now Jordan's ready to play. He needs to play. I think our fans kind of realize why we're doing what we are doing. There's a lot of unknowns. We're a very young team. But I think the players, Jordan, and the young guys realize there's going to be more and different opportunities than they had in the past." And I don't know if Green Bay is going to do any more additions to their roster. You know, the whole talk about, are they going to add a veteran wide receiver to that room? Because you look at it right now and it's incredibly young. It's incredibly young with Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs, and then Samari Toure being the veterans of that group right now. Really, when you kind of look at it, then you bring in these youngsters and such. And, you know, we've been hearing from, you know, LaFleur and Goody saying, you know, they'd like to add maybe a veteran to that room and such. But now when you listen to LaFleur's comments from over the weekend, they're maybe kind of backpedaling on that a little bit and maybe kind of like seeing how these guys are going to play it out. He was asked on the need to add a veteran receiver over the weekend. He said, "Time will tell, but according to Ryan Wood, doesn't sound like that's the plan currently. If need be, I think we turn that way. But right now, I think we're just going to let those guys compete. It's certainly a talented room. It's going to be a hell of a competition in terms of who gets those snaps." And it's this team, this makeup of this team is, it's a unique one in my opinion, because you look at parts of this team, you look at the defensive side of this team, and you've got players on there that are ready to win now. Jair, Preston, Kenny, Rashawn, Devondre, guys that you have on your team to win now, and they're ready to win now. And then you look at, you know, offensively, Aaron Jones winning now, ready to win now. But then you look at the rest and it's like your veteran receivers are entering their second year. Your top two tight ends are going to be rookies. It's a unique blend. It's not a, you know, the whole debate about whether this is a rebuild or whatever have you. You know, I think it's in the eyes of the beholder, whether you view this as a rebuild or not, whether certain players view this as a rebuild or not. And even the offensive line, too, I forgot to mention, I mean, that's you got Bakhtiari, a guy that you win now with, Elgton Jenkins, a guy you win now with. And everybody's going to, you know, Bakhtiari mentioned it's a rebuild. Keyshawn Nixon doesn't view it as a rebuild. Keyshawn Nixon, though, is probably a player coming off of a good year, all-pro year as a special teams returner. But he only signed a 1-year deal, got a nice pay raise, but he's kind of a year-by-year player. He probably views it as, I don't have the luxury of, you know, viewing anything as a rebuild. Every year is a must-win for me. Some players will view it the same way. Some players will view this as, you know, they don't, it's their mindset. And I think it's the right mindset to have. You don't go in thinking, oh, this is a rebuild year. Because then you're just like mentally preparing yourself to have a down year. You know, you're a player. You don't view this as like, oh, yeah, we don't have, you know, we're not going to go in there and have a lot of expectations for this season. Because then you're just mentally preparing for a down year, for a letdown, and you're just going to have this negative mindset already. I don't want to hear, I don't like hearing players talk about rebuilding years. I mean, we can gauge our own opinions and thoughts on it from the outside, but I think from a player's mindset, you don't want to hear a player talk about rebuilding, because then that starts to set in some self-doubt, creep in that negative mindset. I want these guys to go out and win every single ball game. It's not going to happen. Odds are it's not going to happen. And coaches too, you know, it's that competitive mindset. Coaches aren't going to want to sit there and say it's a rebuild. Matt LaFleur is not going to go out there and say, yeah, we're in a rebuild year. His job is to win ball games. His job is to win games. So he's not going to want to go out there and talk about rebuild. He wants to win ball games. That's why he's there. General managers, a little bit of both. You know, Goody has constantly said throughout the whole offseason, you know, the goal is still the same, to win Super Bowls, to win championships. Yet he has to kind of dance that fine line of like, okay, putting out a team that can still maybe make a run, get to the postseason, see what can happen, a competitive team, field a competitive team. Yet, I got a plan for the future here too. I got to make sure that we're going to be good for the next few years, for the foreseeable future, because we know that's their mindset. That's how they build teams, or that's their goal and how they're building teams, to be competitive year in and year out. So this team is it's very unique in the structure of it, I think, because it's not a full-on typical rebuild team. It's not that. They got this mixture of players in there that are ready to win now. But, I mean, they're also very, very young and inexperienced in a lot of other ways. So it's going to be an interesting year. And I, right now in May, I have no idea what to even try to predict at this point. I have no idea what to expect. But we got plenty of off-season talk to kind of figure that out. All right, that's going to do it for us on this episode of the Man Cave Podcast. Again, brought to you by our good friends from Hy-Vee and Toyson Ford. Don't forget, you can always leave us a voice message. Get that link in the podcast description. Hit me up on Twitter at DANKASPER, Facebook.com/Casper Sports. Give me your cues, or I should say questions, so we can do a little Q&A. Your analysis, your comments, your thoughts, all will be featured on an upcoming episode of the Man Cave Podcast. And again, if you're not following or subscribing to the podcast, do myself a favor and do that, so you can never miss another episode. And while you're there, don't forget to give it a positive review and a positive rating so other people can find the podcast. Tell a friend, tell a family member about the podcast. Until next time, I'm Dan Casper, and we'll talk to you on a future episode of the Man Cave Podcast.